Hey, good morning. My name is Andy. I'm the pastor of Legacy South, and I'm privileged to be able to bring the message to you on the online platform this morning. We've been continuing our series, Long Story Short, the entire book of the Bible, all 66 chapters, looked at as one story, one complete story with us in it. We are a part of God's story. And we are able to find ourselves in it and find how it applies to our life. We've looked at creation and God's good creation out of community for community. And then the fall, Adam and Eve just messing it up, bringing sin into the world, and God's restoration plan through the people of Israel. But once again, they're a restless people, a people who wrestle with God's will and their own will. And so that made a need for the author to step back into the story. And last week, we talked about that happening in the person of Jesus. And so that leads us into a problem that happened. Jesus rose from the dead, spent time with his disciples, but then he leaves. And that leads us into the birth of the church, which is our message for today. So let's dig in to week 5 of Long Story Short, the church. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you for your word. We know that an encounter with your word is an encounter with you. I pray that you will bless this encounter this morning. Lord, I give this message to you. May these be your words and not mine. May you prepare minds and hearts to receive them. May you be made great and I be made small this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to jump right into the book of Acts. We're in Acts chapter 1. I'm beginning with the 6th verse. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, "Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom?" He replied, "The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. As they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go." Y'all, it leaves us with that question, this problem. Why did Jesus leave? And I think there's two reasons that we can pull out of this passage that answer that for us, and they're both in verse 8. The first one would be for the gospel to be preached to all the nation. And Jesus, while fully God and fully man, he was just one man. And the man of Jesus would not have as much of a reach as the disciples would. But the man of Jesus is a man the disciples weren't going to leave. I believe the disciples left him right before his crucifixion, and they realized their error. They realized the mistake they made, and they would never leave Jesus again. Their lives show it, that they were faithful followers from that point forward. And so he knew that for them to go into the world to preach the gospel to all nations, he was going to have to leave. The second reason, also in verse 8, is for the Holy Spirit to come. And this happens 10 days later at Pentecost. Let's jump to chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. "How can this be?" they exclaimed. "These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages." This is the birth of the church, the beginning of the church. What do you think of when I say church? Do you think of the building that you worship in? Do you think of pews and sermons? Do you think of music? Do you think of programs? Do you think of potlucks? What do you think of when you say church? So many times we view it as more of a business than anything else. And you could see that in these passages. Jesus gives the disciples instructions, gives them a plan, and actually in between these two passages, the disciples handle business. They take care of staffing issues they had. They fill the vacancy they had among the disciples where Judas had been, and then they move into Pentecost. They're filled with the Holy Spirit, and the business of church begins. But that's not really the way I think we should look at church. I'm going to challenge you to change your thinking about church, to think of it a new way. And the thinking I'd like to use is from 1 Corinthians. Paul talks about the body of Christ. He uses the metaphor of a body having many parts, and it's got many different people in the church who represent many different parts, and everyone is gifted. Every single person has a gift, at least one spiritual gift, and you're given that to use in the kingdom of God. And that's the church metaphor I would like to use, is one body of believers. 1 Corinthians 12, 27 says this, "All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it." Think about your body. There are so many different parts that are all designed perfectly by God, the way they intertwine and work together. There's some small parts of the body that are critical. Eyelashes protecting our eyes. We never think about them probably, but oh, do they protect our eye and our vision? If you've ever had an inner ear problem, it's maybe affected your equilibrium and your balance. A small part of your body that can have a huge effect on the whole of the body. This is the imagery that Paul uses. And this is how I'd like us to change our view of church, is one body, but many parts. We are all a part of the church. So what's this look like for us today? You know, one of the biggest things I'd say, and the initial pieces of it that's important, is just like it happened at Pentecost, it's God's people being filled with the Holy Spirit. This is critical to the church and the world today. Now, the people in Jesus' time, when the Holy Spirit came upon them, they understood that, you know, this was the power that they were relying on. The things they were doing was not in their own strength. Do we really have that understanding today? Do we have that expectation of the Holy Spirit in our lives today? I would challenge us that I don't think we do. I think we speak to it sometimes. We talk about it. Even sometimes in our children's church, we talk about Jesus. He lives in my heart. And it's sentimental and it's sweet. But I don't think that's really what it's about. I think it's about Jesus and the power that comes through the Holy Spirit. Being a follower of Jesus, we have an indwelling of the Holy Spirit every bit as powerful as what happened at Pentecost. Peter went on from Pentecost to preach a sermon that 3,000 people were converted. And so those 3,000 people were all filled with the Holy Spirit and the church exploded. That's what happened on that day, and I believe it still happens today. We have a power inside of us through the Holy Spirit, the power that Israel would have had to be a different people, to be set apart, to be holy, but not to be better than others or a preferred people, but to be a people who trust in God and His power in our lives. We are, in fact, are temples of the Holy Spirit. If you look at this passage in Acts 2, I love it when the tongues of fire come down to the disciples' heads. It reminds me of earlier in the Old Testament when the people were coming out of Egypt and they were led by a pillar of clouds during the day and a pillar of fire at night, and the temple would be erected and a pillar of fire would be over the temple. And each person here at the Pentecost, all the disciples have a tongue of fire appearing on their head, and they're their own little temple of Christ. That's exactly what we are called to be, is a temple of Christ ourselves. Our body is a temple of Christ. But we have a problem with that. We're broken. We're fallen. We are still a broken, fallen people. If we're a follower of Jesus, we're forgiven. Praise God, we are forgiven, but we're still broken. That's where the power of the Holy Spirit is what we rely on. what we are called to do, to be the salt and light in the earth, to be out here in the world with people, spreading the good news of the gospel, that doesn't happen in our own strength. That happens through the power of the Holy Spirit. Look at it right here. The disciples get a power that's supernatural immediately, the tongue of fire, the Holy Spirit indwells them, and they start to speak in tongues. They speak in other languages that weren't known to them, but they were known to the people that were in attendance there, that were coming. That's exactly what was needed, and that's what God provided. We still have that power today. I think we need to work on getting the power of tongues, getting to where we can speak to the lost. We talk to other Christians. We speak in church speak so many times, and I think we're losing the way to really speak the gospel into people's world in a way they would understand, to be a part of their world that is accepted, because that's where we're called to. We are called to be in the world. Now, this time of COVID, it's helped us. In a way, we've gotten out of our building, but have we really gotten into the world? Are we a people that are in the world? I don't think we are. I don't think we're out there meeting people where they are. I think that we are not in the world to the level that God wants us to be yet. And I think that's the next step for us, in the Holy Spirit power, to step into the world, to be in relationship with people, to be out meeting people where they are. Now, Peter tells us, and he cautions us, to be in the world, but not of the world. And I think we have to take that advice. Be smart about that. If you struggle with food, if you have eating problems and overeat, don't start a baking class to be in the world. If you're an alcoholic, a recovering alcoholic, don't start a darts group at your local bar. I think we have to be smart about these things, but I think we have to recognize we are called to be out in the world. Just like it talks about in that passage in Corinthians, the being the body, everyone is gifted. We're all the person God made us to be, and He has a plan and a purpose for our life to be out in the world doing the ministry of the church. That's where it happens, is in the world. So we have this power to be Jesus. We have this power to be able to be Jesus to people. And by Jesus, I mean to do what Jesus did. And He did two things. He created. We have the opportunity to create community. So many times we do it with fellow believers. I think we need to start to make an effort to do it with those who aren't believers, to be in community in the world with non-believers. We need to make it a point to trust in the Holy Spirit and to build those relationships. Two ways to do that. We trust first, and we shut up. I think we trust that God has a plan. We get in relationship with people. We become a part of their community. And then we listen. We have two ears and one mouth. And you always hear that's so you can listen twice as much as you speak. And I think that's great advice when it comes to building relationships with people and hearing their story. So many times we want to really get our point across. We want them to hear the good news. We want them to understand the gospel and how important it is. But I think us getting the opportunity to be heard and understood comes with us taking the time to hear them. We've got to listen first. The other thing Jesus did is He was a pathway to restoration, and we can become a pathway to restoration for people. We can trust in God's plan for our life, to live into the plan God has for us, to play our part in helping lead people to Jesus. Now, we don't know necessarily what that part may be. It may just be a friendly Christian that they run into, someone that they know who is a churchgoer, and that is something God uses in their life. But we have to remember that we are a part. It's not dependent on us. We are a part of a body. We are a part of God's plan. It's not dependent on us ever. We don't save anyone. Every now and then, we get the privilege of being there when God does work a miracle in someone's life and calls them to Him, but we don't do any saving ourselves. This is the church I believe we're called to be, a people who love people. And I want to be really, really good at getting you across what this looks like, paint a picture of it for you. So what I did is I have a picture of it for you. What I'm going to show you is the picture that I've sent to several people. As we moved into this new location, we are blessed with this new building that our church is gathering in the South Campus. I've had several people who had asked me, they said, send me a picture of your church. And so I did. And this is the picture I sent them. This picture is at our old location at Dance Works. And what happens in this is there's a young lady who's going to be headed to Rochester for medical testing and was very uncertain, not sure what was going to happen. And so they started, our people started to lay hands on her and pray. And this is while all the church was being torn down, all the work was there to be done, and it all slowed down, and more people came over and started laying hands on her and praying. Yes, there's all these things that needed to happen for the business of church, but that wasn't the most important part. The most important part was there was a person in our midst who needed to be loved on, who needed to be cared for, who needed to be prayed for. And that is the image that I send out when somebody asks me for a picture of our church. And it's not what they expected. I get that. It's not what they were thinking. They were thinking I was going to send them a picture of a building. But that's what I think we have to change. We have to change our thinking into we are the church. We are the presence of the kingdom where God has placed us, and we are called to be the church. We don't do it in our own strength. We do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Bible, it's full of unexpected, but I think we are called to live into that. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you. I thank you that we have the ability to build relationships with people, that we have the ability to reach out to the lost. We have the ability to listen to people's story, to get to know them, to change their thinking about your church through the relationships we build with them. And Lord, I pray that you will help us to be bold, to be a people that start to understand that we are the church. We are the presence of the kingdom wherever you have placed us. We are a people that are called to be in the world, not of the world, to be set apart, to be holy, but we don't do that through our own power. We do that through your power given to us through the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that you will help us to live into this mission that you have given us. Live into the power that we receive from your Holy Spirit. Live in to the call you have on our lives, Lord. It's not what people expect, but that's what we are called to, Lord. We pray these things in the mighty name of your Son, our Savior. Lord, we finish this morning praying the way you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Y'all, it is Communion Sunday. We get the privilege of the body and blood of Christ being remembered today. And as we remember this sacrifice that he made, this communion that we take, I want us to also remember the power that we have through his Holy Spirit to, while his Holy Spirit changes us, his Holy Spirit through us can change other people as well. So now I give to you as was faithfully given to me that Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took the bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it. And he said, this is my body, given for you and for many. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's eat the bread together. When the meal was ended, Jesus took the cup. He said, this is my blood shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. This is a new covenant I give to you. Do this in remembrance of me. Would you pray with me, please? Father God, I thank you as we take these common elements and remember the amazing sacrifice of your son, Jesus. Lord, I pray that you will help it to be something that we allow to permeate through our hearts, through our lives, and to manifest itself in the way we interact with other people. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will move in your church. Move in each and every one of us, Lord, wherever you have placed us. Allow us to become salt and light to this broken and hurting world. Lord, may we be someone who reflects Christ to our fellow man. I pray this all in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. And now, as we prepare for our final song, this would be a time for you to give your tithes, gifts, and offerings online or get your checks ready, however you do that. We just want to thank you so much for your continued support of the Ministries of Legacy. Let's worship together.